Welcome to Cheap Astronomy's Fantastic Physics Formulas. Today, Hooke's Law. Hooke's Law, first announced by Robert Hooke in 1676, is captured in the formula F equals kx, where the force F, required to stretch a string, is proportional to the distance x that the spring is stretched across. The proportional relationship between F and x depends on the elasticity of the material, represented by K, which is also known as the spring constant. So, in response to the same stretching force, a material with a low spring constant will stretch over a long distance, while a material with a high spring constant will not stretch as far. But Hooke's law really just says there is a close relationship between force and stretch, and the law only works within certain limits. Hooke's law is what's known as a first-order linear approximation. This has nothing to do with any recent Star Wars movies, but instead indicates that the law only roughly models reality. A first-order linear approximation means that the relationship described is not precisely linear, although it is a bit linear. These days, there are a myriad of formulas available to describe the specific behaviors of different materials under different stresses. Nonetheless, the relationship F equals kx is still useful to broadly define relationships between forces and effects over the distance for which a spring, or some other stretchable material, can maintain its elastic properties, meaning it can tolerate a certain degree of stretching, or compressing, and then spring back. So, Hooke's law tells you the maximum stress you can put these materials under before they fail, and the maximum distance over which they will be stretched or compressed before they fail. However, the point at which a material does fail is when the law stops working. So you first have to determine the points of failure of different materials by experiment, and then appreciate that Hooke's law only applies well within the boundaries of these points of failure. Through experiment and measurement, we know that timber and steel have lower spring constants than, say, concrete. This means that, well within the boundaries of their respective points of failure, timber and steel may bend in and out of position under stress, while concrete hardly bends at all. So, concrete is often a favoured building material, since it will hold its form under considerable stress. Nonetheless, there are contexts where it might be better to build with timber or steel. Hooke's law about the relationship between stretch distance and force only applies well within the boundaries of points of failure. If you reach a point of failure with concrete, it cracks and shatters with potentially catastrophic effects. Reaching the point of failure with timber or steel means structural components are bent irreversibly out of shape and don't spring back. But there may be less mayhem and death as a consequence of that. Putting construction to one side, Hooke's law also tells you the force that will be generated when a compressed or stretched spring is no longer constrained and it springs back. This is important in many mechanical systems, including clockwork systems, which were kind of a big deal back in Hooke's day. So, you wind up a spring and then let it unwind, where energy is released in a very regular and predictable way to drive a clock or a music box, or many other clockwork machines that led us to the Industrial Revolution. When Robert Hooke announced his law in 1676, he did it as a Latin anagram, CEIIINOSSSTTUV, which he subsequently unscrambled into Ut tensio sic vis, which translates to, as the extension, so the force. Back in Hooke's day, that is apparently how you announced a fantastic physics formula.